We're in Isaiah, and we are a lot in this part of Lent to teach us about repentance and a lifestyle of repentance and getting rid of the evil in our midst. And so we have, this is Isaiah 58, which means it's a close toward the end of the second part of Isaiah, right? There are three parts in Isaiah. First Isaiah, second Isaiah, third Isaiah. Creative titles, right? Now they're probably all from one school of prophecy, founded by Isaiah, who was a government official in Jerusalem, very learned and very great artistic man. And he wrote and ended his part in chapter 39, or at least when the editors put it together, they made 39 chapters out of his work. But then a disciple, probably, in exile, began to write and add to it. And that's chapter 40. And that goes on to chapter 59. And then the last part, chapter 60, to the end, which is full of promises, you see, was added as well. So that's the best we can do in trying to reconstruct from the different styles of Hebrew, the different theological slants and so forth, you see. So here, we're in Isaiah 58, which means it's written in the exile, but it's written not only to the exiles, it's written to the people who are still back in Jerusalem. If you remove from your midst oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech, all of this is going to be about how we relate to one another. That's a strong prophetic call all the time. If you bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then light shall rise for you in the darkness, and the gloom shall become for you like midday. These are people in exile. And the little remnant that was left back in Israel. The Lord will guide you always and give you plenty, even on the parched land. He will renew your strength, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring whose water never fails. You know how precious water is in a desert climate, you know? The ancient ruins shall be rebuilt for your sake, and the foundations from ages past you shall raise up. Repairer of the breach, they shall call you. Restorer of ruined homesteads. And then it gets very specific. If you hold back your foot on the Sabbath from following your own pursuits on my holy day. We can all take that one seriously, can't we? You know, that day is dedicated to the Lord. If you will call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and he goes on, why? We are so caught up in what we do and where we get our money and our comfort that giving honor to God is kind of secondary. And what God is saying is, you take this seventh day and you do none of that. You just honor me, care for the sick, and treat your neighbors well, but you honor me. And that's the, you see, the most precious things are rare. And most of them are useless. What are you going to do with gold? Hang on to it and buy stuff. Yeah, but I mean, You can't make a car motor out of it. You can't make a sword out of it. You can't, no, it's not useful. It's only beautiful. And so it's for chalices, jewelry, all that. Well, you see, Shabbat is gold. It's not for all the other stuff. And that's the message of that text. The gospel, it's the call of another person. This is it's seated, the setting is Capernaum, but the story is also in the other synoptics. It's the calling of a tax collector. Well, a different, he's not a tax collector who levies taxes. He's at a customs post. Because the road from the north went down through the Jordan Valley and emptied out, the water emptied out in the Sea of Galilee, and you take a right and you head west and you go around there. And that's called the Way of the Sea. So you had to go through Capernaum. And that's where how Capernaum made its money, collecting toll, a customs tax or toll booth. So this man is there. And Jesus just came up and said to him, follow me. He dropped everything and went. Now that's a typical vocation story. You can find them all over the place. Probably the first one is when Elijah calls Elisha. Elisha is busy plowing, remember? And Elijah comes and just throws his cloak over him. And he said, let me go back and say goodbye to my father. He said, what have I done to you? Which is so Semitic. I just threw my cloak over you, which means I claim you for my disciple. So he let him go home and then come back. Did Jesus let the guy go home? No, because this is now, it's more urgent. And so he gave a big banquet. He's so honored to be called to follow this preacher. And so, and of course, because he's a tax collector, what kind of people are going to be there, you know? Not the respectable population. And so the disciples, the Pharisees see this, and they don't dare ask him, because every time they do, they lose the argument. So they go to his disciples and say, you see, how come you eat and drink with tax collectors? They're practically traitors and sinners. Anybody whose life is irregular, sinners. Now Jesus answers them, not the disciples. He must have overheard what they were doing, or maybe one of them went and told him. Those who are healthy do not need a physician. The sick do. I have not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. So if you want to follow Jesus, you have to repent and acknowledge you're a sinner. It's very interesting. But the image that our Lord uses, the healthy don't need a physician, but the sick do. He's implying, so you're some kind of a physician? You're some kind of doctor? You're saying, how come you? Yes. As it says in the book of Exodus, I am Adonai, your Rafi, your healer, your doctor. He's making an oblique claim to be the Son of God. And any one of those Pharisees would know right away what he was doing. And they could have followed up. What did you explain what you mean by that? You're applying a divine title to yourself. And he could have explained it to them. But they didn't want to hear. They didn't want to hear. And so this this Saturday before we get into Lent. You know, we're in Lent, but we start like first Sunday in Lent tomorrow. We should be smart enough to go to the physician and get fixed up and follow, you know, if he writes out a prescription, go follow it up. What'll be on that prescription? Well, you know, it was the very first gospel we had on Wednesday, right? What are the three things that make biblical piety?
Prayer,
right? Pray, then you fast. And if you fast, then you got stuff to give away. So prayer, fasting, and almsgiving are the foundations still of biblical piety.